You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Vortex Optics. Welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and this is a pretty interesting episode we have for you today from the standpoint where a guy reaches out to me. I think it was either Facebook or Instagram. He goes, "Hey man, I got an idea. I need to talk to you about it. I have a friend who wants the same results as me, but is not willing to put in the extra effort. And maybe it's because he's busy with life, or maybe it's because he doesn't take into consideration all the details for strategy, but he wants to shoot a big buck, but never really wants to put in the work to get to that point." And so that's what today's podcast is about. And I'm sure as I say this, I really don't have any hunting buddies. I mean, I have friends who hunt, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to sharing a farm or meeting up with someone at the end of every night, or I'm in a big text chain with people, I don't really do that. I'm kind of a solo guy. But back in the day when I was younger, I definitely knew someone like this. And so that's what today's podcast is about. I'm not going to go too deep in the intro about it. You guys will listen to it. And as soon as you start hearing today's guests talk about it, you're going to understand. So with that said, I just want to keep this intro really short. If you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. They have not only some of the best saddle equipment available, they also have a YouTube channel and their website. Tons of information about how to properly use their products. WaspArchery.com. My opinion, some of the best design mechanicals and fixed blade broadheads on the market. American made. Most of them are American made. And awesome design, awesome material, and that leads to an awesome broadhead. Discount code NFC20, 20% off everything at WaspArchery.com. HuntStand, again, last night, should have been in bed at about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I was up till 11:15 fiddle farting around on hunt stand, just trying to break down properties, right? New properties, old properties, out of state properties, public land, private land, breaking it all down, looking at access routes, because in about 20 days now, I think I'm going on my first hunt. And so I want to know exactly where I'm going. I want to have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G planned out. And I do all that on Hunt Stand. HuntStand.com, discount code for 20% off, SN20. And lastly, Vortex Optics. Vortex Optics. I love the guys that work there. They're amazing people. The customer service for that company is amazing. So if you have a problem with your optics or you need information about what optic to purchase, go ahead and visit, call up Vortex, and there's going to be somebody there that will help you out. All right. So vortexoptics.com, binoculars, spotting scopes, range finders, rifle scopes, red dots, you name it, they have it. And they want you to be satisfied. And that's how they get return customers. So go check out Vortex products. Now, if you're not following along on Instagram, Nine Finger Chronicles, go do that. If you're not following along on the Sportsman's Empire, go do that. And when you go to sportsmansempire.com, click on network and then explore all of the other podcasts that are on the network. And I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised that, man, we are putting out some of the best content in the category. So tons of shout outs to all the guys who are a part of the Sportsman's Empire. And thank you for following along and listening to that. So without further ado, let's get into, I don't even know what the title of this is right now, but it's a really good episode. So enjoy.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. All right. On the phone with me today, Mr. Brian Nagy. Brian, how are we doing, man?
I'm great, Dan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Where are you from?
I am from Buffalo, New York. I'm about 10 minutes from the Canadian border.
Okay. Buffalo, New York. I don't know why, but every time, the only thing I think about every time I hear of Buffalo, New York is lake effect snow. And how you guys, like certain parts of the year, you guys just get hammered.
Oh, yeah.
Is it is it pretty bad?
Yeah, I mean, every year we get these big storms in, but I mean, the October storm was pretty good. The blizzard was pretty good. What happens is our wind drift comes out of Canada so hard, and it literally just dumps right down through Buffalo into the southern tier. So there's literally a wall. I mean, you can go on Google and type in the October storm, and you'll see distinctive walls of where the storm is just dumping on Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gnarly, man. So you guys get your workout removing snow in the wintertime.
That is for sure.
That's for sure. Let me ask you a question. When you hunt in an area like that and there's just tons of snow in a short period of time, what are the deer doing in that time frame?
Well, I mean, it's specific on where the snow is dropping, right? So if I go hunt my aunt's property was about 30 minutes from me. There's no agriculture. So if the snow comes, that property's done. The deer are gone and they move towards the food. Yeah. Now, if I go about an hour and a half southern tier for me, there's more agricultural food for them. So I just get closer to the food sources.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a Buffalo police officer.
Oh, police officer. All right. Well, thank you for serving. If someone asks you, what does a police officer do in a given day, how would you answer that question?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. Yeah. Go into detail about that.
Well, it all depends on the shift. Some shifts are busier than others. It also depends on where you work in the city of Buffalo. I happen to work on the east side, which is a little more upbeat, we'll say.
Yeah.
More violent than other areas of Buffalo. So, I mean, my shift can be anything from just responding to a traffic accident to going to a homicide call to just a domestic violence call.
Yeah.
It ranges from everything in the spectrum. And there's other times where it might just be a community event that you got to go hang out and show face at.
Yeah, I gotcha. What's the crazies like? Because I was in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and compared to other places, like I've been to Portland, I've been to Seattle, I've been to Chicago, they have a lot of crazies, is what I like to call them. What's the crazy situation like in Buffalo?
I would say it's comparable to most other places. I was also a cop in Washington, D.C. for 3.5 years.
Okay.
So it's pretty similar across the board. Gotcha. Everybody has them. How they handle them might be different. But, I mean, from there to here, we get our fair share of calls of just crazies and mental health calls and just people that want it and sue chaos.
Yeah, yeah. I gotcha. All right. So do you – like, I've known guys who really love being a police officer. I know of guys who have gotten into it and then they're looking for a way out of it. Where, do you really like being a police officer, or do you wish there was another route sometimes?
No, I love it. I'm actually working on a master's. I'm almost done with it, about three classes, and I'm done in criminal justice.
Oh, nice.
So I'm coming up on almost 10 years being in the field, and I still love it to this day. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's days where the bear gets you.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, you get to see some crazy stuff, do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you played sports, it's like going to your hockey team, you know, and then you go win a game. Everybody's hooting and hollering in the locker room after. Like, some calls are like that, too.
Yeah.
So that camaraderie, that friendship.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So, man, police officer, are you looking, like, now that you got your master's, are you thinking of maybe detectives your next step, or a different position within law enforcement?
Yeah, I definitely want to advance up through the department. Ours, to get promoted, it's all based off a test. Okay. It's based off how many years you have on in the department. So after like 5 and 7 years, you're eligible to take your first exams. So that would be the next step, to be either take the lieutenant's exam, which we don't have sergeants, or detective exam, and then go from there.
Yeah, man, huge shout out to you guys for doing what you do. But we're going to talk about deer today, all right?
Yeah.
I have to laugh at this, because when you reached out to me with this topic, I was like, dude, I know so many people. I don't know if it's a problem or an issue. It is for one guy, usually, and yeah. I've been a part of it before, and that's usually why I don't hunt with a hunting buddy anymore, because of expectations and the amount of energy that one person wants to put into it versus another person. And so why don't you kind of walk us through what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was younger, I got into hunting because I'd watch all the TV shows. I remember I was 13 years old. I cried so much that I wanted a bow, that my dad actually bought me a bow after my birthday as a birthday gift.
Oh, nice.
It took a year of me complaining and whining. And my mom actually took me like months later to get it set up. So for a while, she would take me every Friday to go shoot the bow at a local shop. So I was all self-taught. I was just flinging out at a giant wall, trying to figure stuff out. And then I slowly got into hunting with my cousin, where it was like, he'd pick me up from school, we'd rush out to the family farm, and I would have my thermos full of hot chocolate, and I would sit in the stand 10 feet off, not having a clue what to do if an animal walked in front of me.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I was, like, obsessed with it. And then over the years, you hunt more, right? And then you start seeing deer that you want to see, and somewhere from going to that little 14-year-old boy that's in the stand with his bow to where I am now, it's like I enjoy the whole process more than I probably enjoy the actual hunt.
Yeah.
You know, like this year alone, I saw a deer is probably close to 160. It's probably one of the biggest deer I've seen in New York State. And I didn't get a shot at him, but I seen him twice on the hoof within 40 yards. And to me, that was a win.
Yeah.
But the issue is, I have a good friend who I got into hunting maybe 6-7 years ago. And his style is similar to mine when I first started. And we butt heads quite often during the season.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you have taken certain steps to become better educated on deer hunting, deer behavior. You're a little bit more mobile. You like the chess match of it, and then your hunting buddy is a guy who just like wants the same results that you do, but doesn't want to put any effort or work into it.
Yeah, I don't want to say he doesn't put any effort into it, but you can't hunt a deer that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So if you're limiting yourself to your 35 acres where his family owns land, and unfortunately his dad might stomp all over the property, pushing all the deer out or making them nocturnal.
Yeah.
Like, not going to shoot the deer that you want and put on your wall because he's not going to come during the daytime. And he doesn't want to venture too far off into state land. And he wants to just hunt off the road, wake up last minute. You know, where me, it's like, I like to get up early, take my shower, be in the stand an hour before dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's different.
Yeah. So where do you guys butt heads at?
Oh, man. Everything.
Give me some examples.
So, it's been going on so long that even when we first started, we would hunt together and say, you know, he'd hunt his property and I'd hunt down the street on the state land. He'd get mad at me that I would wake up earlier than him because he wanted to sleep in. And, like, that's where you start drawing the line. It's like, well, I got to walk into my stand, set up my mobile stand, and then hope, you know, that all my scouting turns out where he's going to go to his own property, his stand's already set up, jump in the shower and walk out when the sun's coming up and hope to see what he sees.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So it sounds to me like there's, are you, when you guys go out, do you go out together or do you guys drive separate?
Well, we both have different schedules, so we try to line up our weekends together. He can make his a little more flexible, so he matches up with mine, but we always drive separate.
Okay, I gotcha. So it's not like you guys rely on each other or you're hunting the same pieces of property, right?
Right.
Right. But he has, you know, he has a set amount of acres. Like you said, what did you say, 35 acres of private ground that he hunts? Right. And it's not necessarily being managed for deer. You know, it sounds like there's somebody all over it. But when he goes into a season, what does he tell you? Like he wants to shoot a big buck and then the big buck doesn't exist or the big buck's not there or it's on trail camera, but it's nocturnal. Where's the disconnect? Where do you get frustrated with him at?
It's a little bit of all that, right? So, like, let's take up last season. Even the season before, he actually hit two deer that are good for the area, like above average. We'll say maybe 130s, maybe even touching 140s. And unfortunately, he didn't find either of them. One of the guys found the deadhead on a neighboring property and wouldn't give it to him, which is unfortunate, especially because it would have been his first buck that he could have put on a wall.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot. I mean, the best way to say it is he puts his work in, but he doesn't at the same time. He wants those stands that are like in the thicket 100 yards off the road, but then he walks in and he's eating peanuts in a stand and you can smell them. Like, and that's not an exaggeration. I literally walked up to him like, I can smell you eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And so it sounds to me like he goes through the process and he tries to, he puts time in the stand. Does he put time in the stand? Like you put time in the stand?
He puts a lot of time in the stand.
Okay. All right.
But I tried telling him, like, now he's expecting his first child coming up. And I was like, dude, like, if you're going to put any time in the stand, why not put it on the best days instead of wasting your time where you could, you know, be home with your wife or, you know what I mean? Kind of like stack the chips in your one side.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds to me like the difference between you and him is the attention to detail. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So does he ever then get frustrated at you when he sees you find success and find like, see what you're doing and you're going out there on public land, you're getting up early. Does he ever look at that and go, man, maybe I should do what he's doing? Or is he just kind of set in his ways?
I think he does both, but it's at the point now where I don't share my trail cam photos anymore because he gets upset. I just told him maybe a month ago of the deer that I was telling him about, 160s, that I saw him and I passed up another deer and I showed him the deer that I passed. Because during the season, he gets mad at me that, you know, I might have a honey hole and he doesn't, but it's also I'm putting boots on the ground and I'm moving cameras and instead of hunting, I'm walking around looking for the sign. So I'm, you know, it's not like I'm hunting all these times, but I even going out to the camp, I'm scouting too.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me like you guys are just two different types of people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I had a friend growing up, he's a friend. And so his expectations were the same as mine. And this is right around the time where I started to do, it started to click for me. I started to get mobile. I started to have more encounters with deer, and it wasn't happening for him. And mm-hmm. So he was like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm moving. I'm, and it was what a guy told me. He's like, you got to move. You got to move. If you're not seeing deer, you got to move. If you're not getting close to deer, you got to move. And so he may have moved, but one time we.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco for the hardworking American.
Shared the same tree stand and we shared the same property. And his sticks were like two feet off the ground. His stand was like, I could set my bow on the platform. And so back in the day, he's changed since then, but back in the day, he'd be like, man, I don't know why I didn't see any deer. I'm like, dude, look at where your tree stands at. It's in a fence line. Any deer coming by could see it. I mean, especially if you're doing any type of moving, you're like 6 to 7 feet off the ground, which in some scenarios may be good, but not in a fence line where, you know, there's no backdrop or no cover. And then at the same time, he wasn't playing the wind. Like his access route sucked. And so I think the difference between us was I just picked up on it maybe a little bit sooner and was taking it serious a little bit sooner than the other guy was. So I don't know. I don't necessarily see it being such a bad thing, except for the fact that I don't hunt with anybody anymore. I'm pretty much just, I'm not in, like, I'm solo, right? And just like you, I've kind of been the solo guy. I've taught myself everything I know, and I've had some, you know, I've talked to some people who I've been able to take some information away from, but the rest of it has just been me. And I don't know, man, it sounds to me though like it's not a big deal just because you guys don't hunt the same places. It's not like he's interrupting your hunts or he's not trying to get in on your places, is he?
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yes, my aunt's property, the one year I let him, I had a great deer on camera and I couldn't hunt. And I'm like, dude, you got to go hunt this stand. He's going to be there. And NYSIG came down, which is our electrical company, came down the neighboring power line and didn't see anything. So the one time I let him hunt my aunt's property, it was ruined out by a bunch of electricians doing the power lines.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he gets a little bitter towards me that I stay out of my honey hole unless the weather says, okay, dude, it's time to go in there. Like if I had my north wind at the front during the pre-rot, for me, based off of like 10 years of trail cam, starts to come in around the 25th and ends like about November 7th for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
it just sounds to me like you guys are on different levels.
Yeah.
And you want to put in the work and time and you want to take it to the next level. And he's sounds like he's content with where he's at.
He's content, but he still wants the same result that I want. And well, this year was first thing I've ever done was, so knowing that he's having a baby, me and his wife chipped in, we bought him a bunch of Cuddy Link cameras.
Yeah.
Right. But, and I was like, listen, like set them up. That way you can just pull one card and you can do more scouting faster for you. And then I also put out 9 cameras in new spots that I've never hunted before. And I'm going to share all the photos with him and be like, if one's in there, this is your year to get it done before your kid comes.
Man, you know? You're a nice guy. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I would do that for any of my friends.
But I've known him for 20 something years.
Okay.
You know, he goes back to the days where we played hockey as peewees together all the way up to college.
I gotcha. You know, I gotcha. Well, you're nicer than me, man. That's crazy. And so he wants the same results, but I mean, it's not rocket science. I think you know what he needs to do. He probably knows what he needs to do. He's just not going to do it.
Right.
You can't. Right. And there's no way. I mean, if it comes to like sometimes my kids, and I hate to compare your buddy to my kids because it's unfair, but sometimes my youngest boy,
yeah,
my oldest two, I can mean mug them into eating their vegetables. But my youngest boy, if he doesn't want to eat his green beans, man, the only way I'd get him in his mouth is if I force fed him. Right. I don't want to eat this. I'm not going to eat this. And he'll sit there. He's happy with sitting there until it's bedtime. And all right, buddy, I'm taking him to bed. So it's I don't know. It's one of those things where I guess you just got to get over it and let him do what he's going to do. And if he's going to bitch and complain about certain things, well, let him bitch and complain. It's not going to really affect you any.
No. And it's just, it's funny how we started out hunting together.
Yeah.
You know, 6-7 years ago, I gave him his first bow and then I got him into it. Yeah. He got really into it. And then it's like, why wouldn't you, if you're putting all this time in it, why wouldn't you hunt the best days? Why, in my mind, it's hard for me to be like, dude, why waste your time on October 1st in the open when it's 75 degrees and sit in your best stand?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, it's one of those things where, I know hunters who are some of my best friends, or, well, I shouldn't say that, are good friends of mine. And they're content with that. They're content with that. Now, there's just some things you can't change. And sometimes you can't change it, or sometimes because that eventually he's going to have to want it for himself, right? He's going to have to want to make the change. You can't force him into it. You can be like, dude, what are you doing? Like, stay out of that piece until it's good. And sometimes if a guy wants to hunt, he's going to hunt. And so, I get it, man. I get the frustration, but at some point it sounds to me like you're helping him out too. And it sucks. I feel like this is an intervention where I say, you need to stop enabling him and you need to let him go out and do some of these things for himself. And you worry about yourself, because the only way that he will become a better hunter is if he wants to become a better hunter, not if you want him to.
I want him to so bad.
Yeah. And is it just because you don't have anybody else to connect with as far as hunting is concerned?
Well, I mean, I have a bunch of friends that hunt, but my style is very much different than a lot of theirs. And I've gotten a lot of arguments with them over hunting. And I just found out that it's easier for me to focus on me, hunt how I want and by myself.
Yeah.
Get the results that I want. That way I don't have to worry about anything else. But,
yeah,
you know, it sucks when you see one on camera and you don't want to send it to your best friend because you know he's going to get upset with you. But it's like, why are you mad at me that I put the time in or I waited for the specific day to go in there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so do you guys share any property at all?
So I will stay at his property, his family's property where he hunts, but I don't hunt his property. I haven't hunted his property in probably 4 or 5 years.
I gotcha.
But one thing we do to help like minimize the arguing is usually the first week of archery season, we put 2 tree stands in the stand together in the same tree and sit together and just have a bro day.
Oh, a bro day. Dude, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You know, it's just because it's like he knows that it's my serious time of the year, and then I know he wants the same results, but like he likes the camaraderie. So we go up, you know, we'll bring snacks, we'll hang out. We don't ever see shit, but you know, two dudes in a small tree and it's wobbling side to side. It's always a fun time.
See, it sounds like you're still friends though, and that's the thing, man. I have seen hunting ruin people. Like ruin friendships. I've seen guys do very shady, shitty things to each other to either get, let's just say this. Here's the example. A lease pops up, right? And they go in on a lease together. And so the one guy wants it for himself now. And so he talked with the landowner and said, hey, I want this to myself, and got the another guy kicked off the farm. Because that's some bullshit right there. And then I've also seen guys who go into a lease together or hunt the same property, and they say they show deer pics to each other, and that was their verbal agreement. But each on an individual level, those guys are showing me pics of deer that the other one doesn't know about. So that's another little thing that you probably don't have to really worry about with someone who is probably a really good friend. Like, I would hate to see this ever turn into a scenario where you guys lose a friendship over something like that. Dude, I've seen my father-in-law, one of his, I guess, decent friends, I'm not gonna say best friends, told him about a fishing spot. And then he told his buddy, he goes, hey, do me a favor, I have a fishing tournament next weekend. Don't go fishing there. And so the day of the tournament, my father-in-law shows up, and there is a boat sitting right over his best spot, and one of his best spots. And it's the guy that he showed him to. And he goes, dude, I told you, I asked you, please stay away from this spot. And he goes, well, I didn't know. And so he took that personal, and he didn't, yeah. I still don't think he's talked to that guy to this day about that. That's why I really don't like to, especially locally, get involved on other people's properties that I don't know, or that I know, and I don't know, kind of remain a lone wolf of sorts. So what about, talk to me about this property that you hunt. You mentioned before we started recording, like it's real long and narrow and awkward.
Yeah. So it's basically a giant rectangle. It's about 38 acres, I believe. It's my family's property. It's been in the family for over 40 years.
Yeah.
That's where I first started hunting. It's about a half hour from where I live. And predominantly we get a west wind, which it's good for the property if you walk down one side. The real issue is it's only like 300-ish yards wide on its widest part, I guess.
So it's a deep property.
Yep, it's long and narrow.
And can you access? You can only access it from one side.
Yeah, so it's surrounded by, you know, all the three sides are. It goes all the way from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. And I actually went down to the bottom of the hill, talked to the woman down there whose father passed away, and gave her the property that butts up to ours. And she was not having it. She wasn't even nice. She pretty much told me to get the F off her property. Oh. And I was like, well, this is great.
Yeah, I love people like that.
Yeah. And then the property on the other side, super nice gentleman. He gives me permission to go on his property and hunt as well. And his property's pretty similar in shape and size of mine, but again, the wind sets up to where if I go on his property, it's blowing right into my property. So I can't really access there unless it's an east wind, and that's super rare for us.
Yeah. So,
and then the other side is the guy doesn't live there, he's in Florida, but a neighbor watches it and they don't want anybody on it.
Gotcha. Man, that sucks, because the property that I have to deal with that as well. I don't have to deal with it anymore. I lost the property, and it's just like yours, a large rectangle. I can only access it from the north. And in order for me to get into some of the best terrain features, I got to walk right through the middle of it. And if I try to walk through one side or the other, So it's not 300 yards long at its widest point, but it's probably, I don't know. It's 100 acres. It was 100 acres, and it was much longer than it was wide. Anyway, so the point is, it's like, in order to get to the good terrain features, I have to go in real early in the morning, and hopefully my wind direction stays consistent to where it's not like blowing deer out of there, or I'm not getting blown out. Talk to me about how you access that property.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Then.
So what I figured out is, once I started really getting into hunting and putting up cameras where the deer actually were, and the best spot of the whole property, there's a funnel that's like an inside corner, and that's about 500 yards in from behind the pond. And then the pond itself, it makes like an L shape. That inside corner is probably one of the best spots. So I put a cell camera there every year, and I stay out of there until it starts telling me to go in there. So like right now I run a camera in there, and it just shows all does and all fawns.
Yeah.
And then if I get a cold front mid-October, I might get a cruiser come through late at night. But the moment it starts showing me, like, you know, one coming in at 7 in the morning, that's when I know it's good. And I wait for – what I learned is, if I wait for a north wind, I can enter down on the edge of my neighbors and my property and get into the funnel stand. But then it's like how it sets up. The north wind comes out perfect, and it's downhill. So in the mornings, the thermals go down. And I got the wind pushing it with it, and it's out of the bedding area. So like once in a while, I'll catch them cruising that line, trying to check out the doe bedding.
Yeah. So have you found success on that property?
Yeah, I actually shot two deer off that property. They're with me now. One was, it ended up being 146, and I lost 9 points because it wasn't symmetrical. And then I shot another one doing exactly what I just told you in the funnel stand. And that was just, I saw him once on camera, and then I went in the next day in the north wind, and he came by at like 22 yards.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So it definitely produces, but at the same time, like you've already mentioned, you have to wait for specific wind directions to get in there.
Yeah. So I read Jeff Sturgis' book about his like algorithm. And it really like clicked home to me. I was like, if I'm putting this much time in there, I'm not going to go in there on a mediocre day at my best spot, right? So I figured from looking at all my photos, after these storms, when the weather drops and the wind's gone and I still have a north wind pushing out, like that's time to go, especially if it falls somewhere between like the 26th to like the 7th. I've had a lot of luck just seeing deer that are bigger than average for around here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. I can't tell you how important it is. So I'm also the same guy that says this: if the terrain allows you to, you should be able to hunt any tree stand or any terrain feature on any wind direction, if your access allows you to. But on the farm that I mentioned, if I have, let's say, a north wind, access is limited. If I have an east wind, I have to do a crazy loop all the way around the west side of the property, drop down to the bottom, head all the way back up to the east side of the property, and then go north just a little bit to get to specific stands. And even then, I'm bumping deer. So north and south winds are really what I need on this particular property. And so when I do get the off winds, I have to basically say, if you really want to hunt, you got to hunt way away in an observation stand. If you want to, if you want to be aggressive, you can be aggressive, but it's all about that risk versus reward thing that we talk about, right? Like you can go and risk it, and you might be rewarded, but at the same time, you also will probably blow deer out, bust them. They'll make a racket, and then you're, then that spot might be burnt for a while.
Yep.
So have you been aggressive on that property, or are you just like, or have in the past, have you just been like, okay, I need to just play it cool. I need to not be aggressive. I need to be aggressive when the conditions are right, but at the same time, you know, stay away.
Yeah. So when I was younger, you know, like we'll say like I was 20, I would just storm down in the middle of the woods, put on my summit climber and
yeah,
be up in a stand. I was like, and I would see does, and it was fantastic, and I yeah, loved it. And then I realized I'm not seeing what I wanted to see. And then I went away for a couple of years and lived in DC. And then I came back, and the property was like, all the deer get pushed to the property when no one was there. And I figured that out pretty quick because how many deer I was seeing. So I realized if I just keep the pressure off the property, that it was better.
Yeah.
So now, but so if I bow hunt it four times in a season, that's a lot for how I compared to how I used to hunt it.
Yeah.
But I also have public land that I scout heavily all throughout the winter into the spring to compensate for that, like scratching that itch, because I still need to get out there.
Yeah.
You know, I still want to enjoy my weekends, you know, but that's kind of like, I know if I stay out of there long enough, something will come through.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And the only way, kind of going back to that, what we talked about is time, right? And the only way you mm-hmm. know that is time spent in the woods, time spent in the stand, and you can't replace that with anything other than time, scouting time, you know, time basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah, boots on the ground for sure.
Boots on the ground. That's a fact. Now, on this particular property, what are some other challenges you face other than access that kind of prevents you from getting in there more?
Oh my God. People, the horrible, the ruthless. I've gotten arguments with people on my property. I was hunting one day. I was out in my buddy's property about an hour and a half on the state land, and my trail camera goes off right behind the pond, right behind the cabin, and the guy's walking through the scrape, and I'm like, I was so mad. I climbed down, I ran out. I was almost a mile back in the woods. I ran out in my hunting clothes, which I never do, jumped in my car seat and drove to my aunt's property and called the police. And the guy gets out, and he has the audacity to be like, well, I have permission to hunt here. And I was like, who? And he was like, oh, Jimmy so-and-so gave me permission. And I was like, he's been dead for 12 years.
Yeah.
So when did you talk to him?
Yeah. When was the last time you talked to old Jimmy?
Yeah. So I was like, that's great, man. But he has nothing to do with this place. So you got to beat it.
Yeah.
And you know, the sheriff, I wanted him to write him an appearance ticket, but he just cut him with a warning.
Yeah.
But I've never seen him again. But we get people from the neighbor property. They'll walk right down the middle of my property and get in arguments with me during like regular shotgun season. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, oh, we're allowed to be here. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, in those years that I was gone in D.C., the locals realized no one in my family was up there hunting anymore, right? So for those almost 4 years, I think people just were like, if no one hunts this, I'm going to go here.
Free, and I'm free, still, a free place to hunt.
Yeah. And I still, even last year, I still were running to people, you know. I don't tell them so nicely, like, yo, listen. And it's posted, obnoxiously posted. I'm talking, I go through, you know, every 50 feet, I'm stapling a sign.
Yeah.
You know, because I want people to know, like, I'm here.
Yeah. That's nuts, man. I that's something that I don't necessarily have to go through every single year. There has been some time in the past where I've had a guy ruin my hunt, and I'm like, hey, dude, do you have permission? Oh yeah, so and so let me hunt here. I'm like, well, you need to, if you're just walking through the woods, you got to know it's hunting season, and I wouldn't recommend that. And I feel like you should go talk to the landowner and ask her before you go and do something like this during the hunting season, especially with like there's certain properties where I will go back to the landowner and I'll say, hey, listen, I ran into someone on the property. Do you know them? And they're like, no, I don't know them. And so that person was feeding me a line, and then, you know, you can't do anything about it. But most of the time those people don't show up anymore. And then on the one property that I mentioned that I lost access to a while ago, they said, what did he say? The guy let anybody hunt. So I don't even question it. right? He would let anybody hunt the property. They would find out that it's tough to hunt if you don't do it right. And so they go away. And so all year round along, it was just in and out, people coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And you don't know who has permission. You just assume they do because the landowner gives everybody permission.
Oh
yeah.
There's nothing worse than, like, you know, it's regular season. You got the Orange Army out there,
yeah,
and your trail cameras are going off. They send you cell pictures of dudes doing deer drives on your property.
Yeah.
By the time you drive out there, I mean, that's unfortunate. It's a half hour from the city, which is cool, because if I need to run out there, I'm there. But people from the city know it's there too.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't care.
Yeah. The frustrating part about that is it's on a piece of property that you necessarily don't own, but you know that there's nobody supposed to be on there, right? And so for me, it's
been my family for years.
It's a family farm. Mine is permission. And so at least you can say you have a little pull and a little sway on what goes on over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for sure. What's your goals for this upcoming season?
So this year I'm actually doing my first out of state hunt. I'm going to Kentucky with a bunch of guys from work, which is, I'm pretty excited about.
Nice.
So that's on the top of the list. And then, honestly, my goal, as I said earlier, I put out 9 cameras in new locations. I put a lot of time on the ground to help out my buddy find his deer because he's having a baby, right? And I was like, this poor guy's been hunting. He puts in the time. Maybe doesn't put in as much effort as I would like, but in his mind, he does.
Yeah.
So if I can find him one that he's willing to shoot and put on the wall and call it a day, like, I think that's a win for my season. And then, you know, if all goes well, if I can – figure out another one for myself, I'd be super pumped.
yeah. So let's see. What, like, you mentioned you've shot like a 146 in the past. Yep. What is your expectation as far as a buck is concerned, age, class, size? Like, what are you shooting for?
140s to 150s is what I ideally, like, dream about. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Like, last year, the one I saw was the biggest deer I've ever seen on the hoof, and I saw him twice. So I was super stoked that I was able to have that chance that, you know, I played the wind right, I got entry right, I saw him twice, he never spooked. Like, that's a win in my book for me. Yeah, I didn't put him on the wall. But I'm also at the point where I don't shoot anything unless I'm going to hang it on the wall, because that's just my end-all, be-all goal. Yeah.
Do you go after does for your freezer or anything?
Yeah, so early season, maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks, I do a lot of public land, and I have a lot of stuff, like, specifically just for does. I want to get the meat. I want to put it in the freezer. I want to get that itch off the back, and then, you know you're set. You're stable. Like, you're not as nervous when you see your first deer come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, man, I hope it all works out for you, whether you're helping your buddy out. That dude's a lucky dude, right? He's a lucky dude. Let's not get it twisted. The baby's not even here yet, right? And you're already helping him out.
I'm trying,
man. You're
be
good,
more lucky if I find one.
Yeah,
you know, but
you're a good friend. Regardless, even if not a shooter shows up or whatever, you're went out there and you already hung cams for him, man. You got a piece of property that you figured out and you're excited to hunt, and you got the public as backup and things like that. So man, I hope just from a nice guy aspect that your season is a success.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with me for a little bit. Like I said, man, good luck this season.
Thanks, Dan. You too. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Huge shout out to today's guest. Huge shout out to all of you for taking time out of your day to listen and share. If you really do like the Nine Finger Chronicles or the Sportsman's Empire, do me a huge favor and share it on your social media. Go to wherever you download your podcasts and leave a 5-star review. That would help me out and let everybody else know how good of a podcast this is and the network is. Other than that, man, we got some good stuff coming up. Wednesday's episode is going to be a banger, and it's a positive. It's a positive story. So good vibes in, good vibes out. Wear your safety harness and enjoy this Monday. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.